You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. In our study of the Gospel of John, remember, we're looking at chapter 8, and where the Pharisees are claiming, and rightly so, to be Abraham's seed, and that Abraham was their father, which needed correction, and the Lord corrected it. Now, in the process, it's Father's Day, so let's see what we can do. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very much. Thank you, Spirit of God. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in the light of our world, in the light of what's happening, etc., you may want to start in just picking up the thought that God made it so that parents, honor thy father and thy mother, the fifth commandment, that they were to go and honor the outworking of his wonderful plan for every human being. They were to be born physically so that they could be born spiritually. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and therefore they were to communicate that. So here in Psalm 78, the maskil teaching psalm. All of them are, but here in Psalm 78, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 3, 78:3. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come, purpose, might know them, even the children which should be born, which should arise and declare them to their children. So, here's the process. The Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and each believer passes on the information to their children, and their children pass it on to their children. So the responsibility of the father, mother, fathers, the responsibility is given to the parents to hand that on. Now, keeping that in mind, Israel did not do well as a nation. They knew the world nations were doing what they did. Israel should set the example of a relationship to God and to show it. The world is not going to do it, but Israel ought to do it. Israel didn't do it. And thus, Psalm 78, picking up, please, in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of trouble in battle, and they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in the law. Verse 11, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. So they failed. They failed to communicate. They did. And therefore, Israel, each generation, goes down. Because who's communicating? Each time, you get less and less from the parents, grandparents, parents, great-grandparents, parents, etc. Each generation is less, less, less. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Ezekiel chapter 18. Each generation gets less. So, the less you know, the less you can hand to anybody. And we're in a state now, I was almost say something tonight maybe, but here's our country and here's the kinds of things going on in church and otherwise all over the world, actually. Killing. Killing. And our problem, and people are labeling, trying to label it wrongly. That they're way off base talking about guns. Guns aren't the issue at all. They're head in the sand. But if you put it together, if you, the generation, if you were raised in with evolution, that you're an overgrown leaf, a chemical accident, if you were raised in that, and our world it, not just here, all over, and then add to that Freudian psychology, that means happy, be happy as an overgrown leaf. How to be an overgrown leaf and be happy? You need Freudian psychology so you can enjoy being an overgrown leaf, you see. Now, and then you add socialism and communism, if you would. And communism is the same dialectic materialism. Then add humanism. Then add what we've been doing in school, all the way, education. You can't be aggressive, you can't do this, you got to be this. Everything is to kill the incentive to be a man, to be a woman, to kill it. And we're reaping now. If you were raised with that, and then I got problems to boot. I got a mental problem, another drug problem, I got that problem. Now I'm raised in this. Now what incentive do I have to control it? None. So I go and do bad things. And we're at fault as a country, we've let it happen. And we aren't done with this yet. You realize that. Because this is going to lead to what? The tribulation. I don't want to get on this. It bothers me. Anyway. Since I'm such a quiet person, I'm not going to bother anybody. I want you to know it, though. It's bad stuff. Bad. Don't think of it. Understand where the root is. The root, and then they advertise and get a big thing. Anyway, you don't want to get some. Ezekiel 18. Here we are. Israel failed to be the nation to teach and raise the children. Each generation got less and less. So now, Ezekiel 18, the Babylonian captivity. And in Ezekiel 18, God reminds Israel and us about this family relationship. And I'm going to go directly without doing it, just get the flavor of it. Chapter 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls, all persons are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the person living inside the body. All souls are mine. Then slide over, if you would, to verse 19. Remember now, who's going to blame whom for what? Who gets to blame? Father, son, children, who's going to blame? Who do we blame? Verse 19. Yet ye say, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all the statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. On the other hand, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So it's a heart relationship, and you need to have your heart right with God. That's the issue. So the Father can't blame the Son. We just read it in Psalm 78. The fathers were stubborn and rebellious. Well, the Son can't blame them for his action, his or her action. They are responsible and accountable. And the Father isn't to blame for the Son going off base. So we want to keep that. Everyone is directly accountable to God. And remember, you don't own your children. You had given delegated authority to raise them. God owns every human soul. God owns all human beings. No one owns people. God does. He created them. They belong to him. Now, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. May pick up in Psalm 27:10. Now, if the fathers are all going to go and don't do what they should, now what do we do? Then I'm going to go directly in the light of the whole context. Going Psalm 27, picking up in verse 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Now when everything is wrong, here's the human boy or girl, man or woman, and this God. And if everything is, and you're all alone, I'll ask you this question, but you may not like. How much did your father educate and move you to be God conscious and God fearing and Bible honoring? How much did your father do that? Now, and it's getting worse. Now, so God, here we are. That's right. But human failure is not God's failure. And every human being, God is right there, right there, right there. For you to know him and to honor him. No matter who, what, when, where, God, here we are. So you can't escape. You can't say, no one told me. I don't know. Wrong. God is an ever-present help and a wonderful hope. Now, Israel, not doing good. Captivity, Assyrian, Babylonian. But there was a remnant of believers that understood. Israel as a nation didn't. But the remnant, a few handful of people, as it were, honored God. Over, if you would, Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. In Isaiah chapter 63, may I pick up, please, in thought, going directly, if I can, to verse Isaiah 63, verse 15. Look down from heaven. Here's a remnant believing heart in the midst of unbelieving people. Look down from heaven and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory? Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me. Are they restrained? Are they held back? God, don't hold back to rescue me. Verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. They want the believers out. What does the Europe want? Believers out in their constitution. European Union. No Christians. What is our country doing? Get rid of the Christians, believers, not churchgoers, believers. Get rid of them. And they don't want to associate. Israel, here you have Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. We don't care. We don't identify with them. They're outside. That's just the point. You need them inside. You have a little salt to preserve you. You throw it out. You have nothing to protect you. No one. Now, picking up, please. Verse 16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us. Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. God, here we are. Chapter 64. Verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldst rent the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountain might flow down at thy presence. Verse 2. As when the melting fire burneth, as the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Sliding down to verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. God, we don't have any credentials. We're bankrupt. Verse 7. There is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hath consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. We are all the work of thy hand. God, you've got to help us. So here's the remnant of Israel crying out for rescue, for mercy, for grace. Over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, if you would. And in chapter 2. In 1 Kings chapter 2. And you will note, Israel had godly men, remnant, and here's one going back earlier, David. And David was God's man. He loved the Lord. He was beloved of God. 1 Kings chapter 2, picking up, David is about to die, and Solomon is given admonition and instruction. And thus, he's going to take David's place. Verse 3, 2:3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Why? That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself, just like David. I had, God was there, left and right, backwards, forward, God was there. Verse 4, the reason, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. God, here we are, the remnant. And now here's David setting the pace and the example. Over to 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. Again, 1 Chronicles 28. David did what Psalm 78 said. He encouraged. David had his problems, but he had a wonderful, gracious God. and he made him known. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, 28:9. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. See, you want to be able to say that. You need to know my God. Can you say that? You need to know your God. We need to know your God. Who is your God? See? See? Who's your God? Well, the music, the pleasure, the your God. Who is your God? That's the question, you see. That's the question. Good question. Who do you point to? Allah? Well, I don't know. Where do you try to go? Buddha? Confucius? Rosicrucianism? Wow. Now, so, in looking to that, here's David. David, you make it known. And David, here's Solomon. And Solomon is going to say, we don't take the time. Solomon is going to say to God after this, God, I'm not able to do this. I am but a child. I cannot handle this assignment. And that's what he said. And God blessed Solomon. That's why Solomon was so blessed. Because he was realistic with God. He said, who am I, God? I'm just little old me. Now, so we need to be childlike. Childlike. Childlike spirit. You know when you get saved, John chapter 1, verse 12, you don't have to turn there. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, the power to become sons slash children, children of God. Even to them that believe. To become a child. Uh-huh. Become a child. And what are you going to do? Well, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. What are you saying in John chapter 8? Abraham's our father. No, if Abraham were your father, if he were your father, you'd be looking to me. Abraham looked to me. Abraham knew God the Father. Now, so here we are looking, and we understand that we're children, and we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior to become children. And over, if you would, John chapter 17 will help us at the moment. John chapter 17. We need to become children, born again. That's our problem. In order to be a child, you have to have a father. True? You can't be a child. Human without a father. You can't be a child of God without the Father. So when it says we become children, that requires a father. Oh. So now, John chapter 17, and what is that going to do for us when we get to the Father? Chapter 17, John, verse 3. This is eternal life, life eternal. That what? What is that? That we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So, God, when we become children, we know you. And here's you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God the Father bringing God the Son and God the Spirit all together. And so the centerpiece, God the Father. All of God is included in the Father. With the Father. Now, so, God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go and look to you, and we're going to try to be what we ought to be. So here's Father's Day, and here we are looking, and you want to remember now, little test for you, for me, for you. How far can you bring people upward? If you were to use your hand, and you could say, I could lift someone up off the floor, help them up, I bring them up. All right? How far can you bring me past the floor? Can you point me and lift me to heaven, to God? That's the question. How far can you lift me? If I listen to you and follow you, where am I going to end up? That's a legitimate question, isn't it? If I who am I following, and where are they going to take me? So that's a good question. Nothing wrong with that. So God, here we are. And God, how far can I take someone? I can't take them any more than my own humanness. And that's all you can do. Your experience, your character, your conduct, you can't take them any higher than that. So God, we're supposed to be examples. We aren't in and of ourselves, no. But when we become, know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we become children, and we understand in order to become children, we had to be born again, born from heaven, with that given the uncreated life that you own, God. Here we have it, and we now were able to say, my Father. I couldn't have said that before I was saved, but boy, can I say it now. My Father. You need to know, what does David say? You need to know my Father. What do you say? You need to know my Father. I am a father, somewhat. You need to know my Father. That's right. You don't need to know me. You need to know my Father. That's what you need to know. That's who you need to know. Now, having said that little bit, so I can't pull anybody up only so high, only so little, and that's all I can do. And in the process, God, you're going to help me do so. I am. Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God, I want to be helped. I belong to you. You're my Father, and I want to be able to go. I want to be able to go and point to you. You need to know my Father. My Father, God. That's who you need to know. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, please. And you remember how God is going to do that to the believing, for the believing heart. God, are you going to help others? Uh-huh, I am. And we, like in Sunday school, we talked about. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort and encouragement. Here you are, God. And how are you going to do it? Well, he comforts us in all our comings and goings, as we shared Wednesday. The other Wednesday. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, encourage them, that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And as for the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, comfort, also aboundeth by Christ. So God, you put us through with the mill. So why? We have a wonderful Savior and a wonderful, wonderful God, a wonderful one. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God, you put us through that. So that why? So people are going to ask, 1 Peter 3:15, going to ask a reason for the hope that is within you, and you're going to say, my Father. We sang it, my Father planned it all. We read it, John 6. It is the Father's will that all of it be done. My Father. Hang on. Now, over if you would please, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. If I can, picking up please in thought. How does the Lord Jesus Christ do all this for us? And he does such wonderful things for us. Israel's failure, we shared, doesn't need to be yours or mine, or the church's. It is, but it shouldn't be. Believers are known, are to be known, to show, to point to the God the Father, the begetter, the creator, the source, the caretaker, the possessor. Little Hebrew word of, wow. Father, my Father. Now, in saying that, God, what have you done? Well, you've done something wonderful by way of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going, the Lord Jesus Christ's wonderful ministry is to show us the Father. John chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministry. He's the light, John 8, 12. I am the light of the world. Light, physical light, is to see in the sea. We can't see without light. God, how are we going to see you, the invisible, immortal, infinite God? He sent his Son as a light. To see my Son, to see the light. What does light do? It reveals. It makes known. Light does. So when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe and receive him as my Savior, when I do that, the light, he's the light. I know where to go. I follow the light. In the dark, I shoot down the corridor of the wilderness and the woods and try to go and head for the light. And when I get to the light, I find the life, L-I-F-E. I find God. Where? In the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Ah. Now, so he's going to show us the Father. When you see me, he said, you see the Father. You want to see, he's invisible, he's infinite. But he's going to make it so you can have a way to approach him. And how is that? Through my perfect humanity, my wonderful deity, you're going to be able to approach God. So now, God, you're going to show us the Father. You're going to save us for the Father. I'm going to save you for the Father. I'm going to show you the Father. I'm going to bring you to the Father. Verse 6, John 14, as you know, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So God, you're going to show us the Father and save us for the Father. I am. And not only that, I'm going to seat you. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to go in these days of age of grace, going to show and save and seat us with the Father. Seat us with the Father. Over John 14 and in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So I want you to know what? Well, I'm going to go and I have an abiding up there. Up there I have a place for you, as you know, and up in where I am. And you know from Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, God has showing his grace in Christ, in the believing heart, the church. He seated the believing heart in heavenlies already. So God, you came to show us the Father, to save us for the Father, and to seat us with the Father. So our fellowship, our relationship is with you. Now. Now. So you're able to say, Abba, Father. In fact, I'm going to help you. And remember we did this in Galatians 4, Romans 8, present tense both times. The Spirit of God continues to say, we continue to echo it back. Abba, my Father, 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 Hebrew and Greek, Abba, Father, Father. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to say that. You know, when you were little, you probably don't remember it. I don't remember it either. You know, when little boy, I bet you when we were little that our mom and dad, our mother and fathers, tried to get us to say, we knew how to say no. We learned that early. No, we learned that right off. But they tried to teach us to say father, didn't they? Dad, father, father. And you try to, you look at him and you say, and he said, father, I'm your father. Father, yoo-hoo, I'm your father. You see? God, what do you want from us? I want you to know I'm your father. Why? Because of the wonderment of having a father. Think of the society now. Young people have no father. They get too many mothers. No father. And no mother for that reason. That's bad news if you're paying attention to the people that are watching. The crime and everything is increasing because you can't raise a generation up that have that kind of background. They have nothing to go to. You didn't give them anything. You took away the bridge to God. Honor thy father and thy mother, the fifth commandment. That's how you get to God. But if you think you're just an overgrown leaf, where is God in your life? God isn't existent. And woe be to the generation in the days coming up. Because if you think anyway, I would get saved if it was me. I'd get saved fast. And for real. No messing around. No messing around. I want to have the resources to go. I'm not going to, no games, because when it comes, and it's coming, more and more. Now, in closing, over if you would please, over to the book of Romans. Romans in chapter 8. I didn't mean to exhort you a little bit. I did try to help you. It's a silly illustration, but I just thought about it. Not that I'm hungry for it. Remember the ice cream trucks that used to get on the street? You probably don't even know about them, do you? Ice cream truck, ding-a-ling-ling, you know, ice cream trucks, and then you run out, get an ice cream. And I was just thinking, boy. And the ice cream truck's going by, and no one's out going out and get ice cream. And the ice cream truck isn't coming back. And they're never going to get an ice cream. And they're never going to get one. Wow. Never going to get one. Romans chapter 8, God. Here we are. And God in the light, Father, Father, we know. God as my Father, as our Father. Father, the wisdom. My Father's wisdom. He knows what is best. My Father knows what is best. Absolutely. And therefore, Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, which involves what kind of benefit? For to whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate, to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Reason? That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God, You, in Your wonderful, wonderful purpose and plan, You exercise Your wisdom in a most wonderful way. So my Father knows, my God, well, it's the Father, my Father, human Father, too, we knew, and I had to listen to Him, my Father. My Father, big F, God the Father. You have to listen to Him. He knows. So when my Father speaks, I listen. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight a dog. If the dog has something to give me, and if a dog would give me something, and the dog is going to talk to me, make believe, then he's going to tell me something instructive, I better pay attention, don't you think? I'd pay attention to the dog. I'd pay attention to anybody that got something. I'm going to listen. I want to learn. I want to understand. Wow. So now, so here, God, if Father, and my father, what about my father? My father pursues the very best. He knows the very best. He pursues the very best. He's going to do the best. So he isn't going to do the worst. He's going to do the best. If anyone understands your characteristics, your idios, everything else about you, God does. God knows what you can do and handle and can't handle and work, home, school, play, sickness, health, wealth, poverty, hardship, pain. God knows. Then we're going to trust God to get us through it. God, Father isn't going to goof, isn't going to fail. And he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. No question. And you'll notice, please, you're going to say that, over in chapter 8. Chapter 8, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 33, 35 better. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, a sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. God, but he's doing the best thing. God, we're here. You're going to comfort us. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to help you because you live in a world. Think of Joshua that we did a week ago. The ordinary. It's the ordinary things. We live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's how we're supposed to be. Extraordinary. Wow. We eat and drink to the glory of God. Whatever we do, with thanksgiving. And God, you're there. I'm there. Wow. So now in the light of that, and verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, that's pretty inclusive, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, our Father, you know that your wisdom knows the best, your love pursues the best, and your power is going to outwork the best. You are my witnesses, Acts 1:8. You shall receive power in order to exercise and live a wonderful life in a wonderful way. Romans chapter 8, picking up if I can, in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption to be placed as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, present tense. That's what we're able to say, Father, freely, freely, wonderfully. Just like you say you're a son of God. See? How many times was the last time you said you were a son of God? See? A son. Son. And Father, a son, relationship, for real, not with just a human, because we're so all faulty and frail, but with you, God. Abba, Father, verse 16, for the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children, there's your word, children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So God, what are you going to do? I'm going to do something wonderful for you. I'm going to go and make it so that you can go and exercise. And therefore, I don't want you to get caught up in the government system, the educational system, the legal system, the medical system, the social system. I don't want you to get caught up and all of that in the wrong way, you'll lose out. Remember the book I mentioned years ago? The book was written, Society, title of the book, Society without a father. Look at it, our society without a father. That's what we got. The government isn't father. The education isn't father. No, God. No one, nothing replaces you. And therefore we're able to say, Abba, Father. And God, therefore we don't want to back down. We don't want to back away. We want to be able to say, and we don't want to play the fool. We don't want to be a failure. We don't want to choose to be out of the game. I want to be in the game on the right side. I want to play the game of life on the right side. That's my assignment. Wow. Now, so in the process, I don't want to be stubborn. I don't want to be stiff-necked. God, I want you to raise up my little old heart, God, to be all that it meant to be. In closing, would you go over with me to Psalm 34? Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, picking up, please, in thought. Going directly, if I can, to verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth them that be of a contrite spirit. God, a broken heart, contrite, powdered, crushed, powdered spirit. Not much, not like taking a glass and making it powder. Not pieces of glass, powdered glass. Wow. Powdered glass. God, what are you going to do? God, you're looking for that. I am. I want your heart. I want you to know, here's your little house. Make believe, here's the building we're in. And here's the house, here's your house. Personally, here we are. And we're protected. From upward, we don't have to go up because we have a roof over our head. And we don't have to worry about people on the outside getting after us because we're protected with the walls. And so that's how we live our little life, protected in our little house. And we get introverts and all kinds of things. And we live in our little house. And we live in it. God, what are you trying to tell us? I got to get rid of the house. The house is no good. So God, what do you want me to do? Contrite and broken heart? Uh-huh. God, if I look up and seek for you to save my soul, the roof's going to come off. And when the roof comes off, I have a straight shot by the person and work of Jesus Christ to you, Father. And when I have that straight shot to you, all of those walls that are out here to protect me fall down. And they aren't there anymore. I don't need protection. I don't need to worry about being exposed, discovered. No. I have been discovered. In me dwelleth no good thing, except you, God. And all of a sudden I'm a free man. The truth, think of Romans 8, the truth will make you free. The building's down, and I am exposed. So people can look and see who I am and what I do. God, thank you very much. Knock the building down. I don't have to do anything. I'm free. I'm a sinner saved by grace. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and grace and mercy, and we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes, our health and our wealth. God, for being each one, young, old, growing up, trying to find our way in the wilderness. God, help us in every way. Honor yourself. Father, thank you very, very much. In a hopeless situation, in our present world, We are full of hope. And having little to no help, we have infinite help. You are our helper, to say the least. God, we owe you. We owe you. Thank you very, very, very much. Father, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And perhaps we can sing, please.